WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israel is asking the U.S. for more weapons and calling up a record number of reservists as the war with Hamas enters its fourth day. The death toll on both sides has topped 1,600. Among them, the White House says, at least 11 Americans. Correspondent Naomi Ruckham begins team coverage.
Israeli rocket blasts shook Gaza this morning after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared war in retaliation for the deadly Hamas attacks that began over the weekend.
The forces of civilization must support Israel in defeating Hamas.
Hundreds of people on both sides have been killed. Hamas also claims to have taken dozens of Israelis hostage, including an 85-year-old grandmother. Hamas has threatened to execute hostages if Israel strikes Palestinian civilians.
UN says almost 200,000 people in Gaza have been displaced. There's been overwhelming but not unanimous support for Israel overseas.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Thousands of pro-Palestinian demonstrators gathered outside the Israeli embassy last night while outside the prime ministerial residence of number 10 Downing Street. Hundreds attended a vigil in support of Israel, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak among European leaders expressing their solidarity.
President Biden is scheduled to speak about the war at 1 p.m. Eastern. In Washington, the House of Representatives is still speakerless, leaving lawmakers unable to act on more aid to Israel. But there could be movement today. CBS's Scott McFarland from Capitol Hill.
The two candidates make their case behind closed doors here at the Capitol with their Republican colleagues. Steve Scalise of Louisiana, House Majority Leader. Jim Jordan of Ohio, Chair of the House Judiciary Committee and endorsed by Donald Trump. But each man has a list of colleagues who've endorsed them, which renders each unelectable as long as they're both in the race, because whoever wins has to nearly run the table with House Republicans.
Non-union nurses and other staff filling in at four hospitals in L.A. after 1,500 employees kicked off a five-day strike. They're protesting what they claim are dangerous working conditions and unfair labor practices. More fallout from the 26-day-old strike against Detroit's Big Three. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
Chrysler maker Stellantis says it most recently has temporarily laid off more than 500 employees at its Trenton, Michigan engine complex, in addition to 50 people at an Indiana casting plant. Ford says another 71 workers have been laid off at its Livonia, Michigan transmission plant. General Motors has told nearly 200 people at plants in Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan to stay home, increasing its layoffs to 2,300.
S&P futures are up 9. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Gomez Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Tuesday, October 10th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app or by podcast or social media. Nice to have you here to unpack the news and I guess cry in our beer over the Packers losing to the Raiders last night. But again, much like I've said about the Packers, the Brewers, the Bucks, let's temper those expectations. In the case of the Packers, you have a new starting quarterback. You have injuries on the team. That's not to make excuses. It's just to say, again, let's not get overdramatic. You're going to have setbacks like the game in Vegas last night, and we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Here's what's on tap this morning. This week, the people in charge of the Wisconsin legislature are offering you a crystal clear look into their values and their priorities. There is thoughtful, comprehensive legislation out there that is addressing significant issues, and nothing's being done with those. Meanwhile, Republicans are fast-tracking bills that punch down on LGBTQ youth and their allies, even though they know those bills are going to be vetoed by Governor Evers, but those are the things they'd rather be working on, and we'll talk more about that this hour. We have a very busy second hour with a pair of great guests to talk about. They include State Representative Katrina Shanklin from Stevens Point. She is the third Democrat to throw her hat in the ring for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. There are now three outstanding women, each from the various population centers of the 3rd District, seeking the nomination to run against first-term Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden in next November's election. Then at 7:30, we'll talk to author Jake Kaminsky about his book, Beneath the Polish Moon. The Polish Moon, if you're not familiar with that phrase, describes the very large illuminated clock, four-sided clock on the Allen Bradley building, the old factory in Milwaukee. And there was a large Polish neighborhood down there, and so it was lovingly referred to as the Polish Moon. And Jake has written a book about growing up in Milwaukee as your classic baby boomer in the 50s and early 60s. But then he fast forwards to that same Milwaukee boy becoming a police officer in another state and how those memories sustain him, especially when he realizes he's lost touch with his roots and needs to go back. So we have, like I said, between Katrina Shanklin and Jake Kaminsky, a couple of really good guests to talk about in our 7 o'clock hour today. So it's nice to have you along here. And, you know, as usual, during this time of day, we check in with Sam Davison as well, who I'm happy to say made the healthy choice unlike some of us, did not stay up for the Packer game at all. Sam, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. What time was the game even?
What time was the game
even? If you're saying stayed up to see it.
It started at 7:15 and it ended at about 10:15.
Okay, so a little bit later, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I initially was going to clock out at halftime. And then I thought, well, you know, it was 10-3. The Packers hadn't scored a touchdown yet. Mm. So I said, I'm gonna stick around at least for the Packers, you know, first drive. And on their first drive of the second half, they scored a touchdown. And I thought, okay, well, now we're
maybe
back in this.
Things around.
Yep. So maybe I'll just watch a little bit longer. And I eventually, you know, watched it, you know, in bed, and eventually saw it to the point where it's like, okay, this is out of hand. You know, that last drive, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, I wasn't awake for 3 seconds after the end of the game, but still stayed up just a little too long on that. And as a result, get to watch the Packers go to 2-3 and listen to myself sound a little sleep deprived this morning. But you, Mr. Davison, had different priorities. And
I suppose.
Well, I think this is great. You're telling me about this personal project that you're working on. Tell the folks what you're rebuilding.
Well, my car is a vintage VW Bug from the 70s, and the engine is finally starting to die on it, so I'm working on rebuilding a new engine for it.
That, to me, I mean, you may as well speak, you know, Greek to me in terms of what I understand about engines, much less I had no idea that you had a vintage Bug. Have you done this previously with other engines, other cars? Is this the hobby of yours, or is this the first time you've had to take on something this ambitious?
Keeping it running thus far has been a big task and a big hobby of mine, but this is the first time I've ever tore it completely apart, so it's a big undertaking.
And when you get done with that and you've got a couple of extra parts left over, you know, like you're building a table from IKEA, what do you do then? I mean, do you just put those in the glove box and hope for the best, or?
You just cry. because you know you need to take it apart again and fix it so it's right the first time.
And do you do a lot of, how much of this is from memory? And now because camera phones are so ubiquitous, I mean, are you taking photos and video all the time to figure out, you know, what you did so you can go back and undo it or redo it?
I mean, some. A lot of it I'm just, like, reading and looking at other people's pictures online, but here and there.
All right. Well, we have a soap opera to follow now. So have you given yourself a time frame when you want to get this done by?
Before snow, hopefully.
Okay. All right. So sometime in the next week or so, we'll talk to Jennifer Vuchitsky about that from Weatherology. Coming up in our next hour, Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio will join us as well. And you can join us too, 844-967-2789. We'd love to have you along wherever you're listening across the state of Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north. This is Up North News Radio. Back with more after this.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How did they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Buck.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
In today's history lesson and music break, we will learn that John Prine, singer, songwriter, guitarist, was born on this day in 1946, 77 years ago. John Prine passed away back in 2020. Much more ahead later this hour in terms of history and music notes on the day. 6 a.m. temperatures across Wisconsin. It's 43 degrees up here in Lake Wasota. It's 43 in Madison, 43 in Waukesha. A lot of consistent temperatures here. Wausau at 44, Wisconsin Rapids at 44, Hayward reporting 44, Green Bay at 45. And the one cool spot is La Crosse, which is normally one of the warmer spots in the state during the summer. But in that lower area, temperatures have dropped to 39 degrees in that part of the Cooley region. So as we often say this time of year, it's at that weird time of year where, you know, the kids come home and they don't have their jacket because it was nicer out in the afternoon. And then you got to make sure that they're properly warmed and ready to head back to things in the morning. And with temperatures in the upper 30s to lower 40s, that is as important as ever. Our daily newsletter can be found by going to upnorthnewswi.com, your frequent reminder that Up North News is a separate entity from Courier Newsroom, so we also put together all kinds of news features. We do it through social media, we do it through a website, and we do it through a daily newsletter that Christina Lurie puts together. And normally we talk to Christina on Tuesdays, but with yesterday's holiday for Indigenous Peoples Day, we have yet to catch up, so we'll touch base with her next week. But again, if you click on newsletter in the banner on top of our homepage at upnorthnewswi.com, you'll get a daily dose of stories that she's working on. In today's newsletter, she notes that nearly a million Wisconsin seniors are going to notice significantly lower out-of-pocket drug costs, and that is because of a provision in President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. Those affected drugs include diabetes medications, insulin, blood thinners, and more. There's a link to click on for the full list, and she also has a story about President Biden canceling more student debt, bringing some relief to more Wisconsin families. And so again, for that and more, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click newsletter in the top banner. Oh, just looking at it, I thought, you know, I thought we had a caller who is in. It wasn't a caller for the radio show. It was a caller for Sam. Sam, you're getting your own fans now. I think we need a gearhead section.
I guess so. Or we just have like a continuing saga of the adventures of my car, the Volkswagen Bug.
Was somebody like willing to sell you parts or something?
No. Yeah. Someone was calling in, like telling me a story of one that they had when they were younger, a 68 or 69, I think they said.
Look, if they had a 68 or 69 back in 68 or 69, don't believe them because they don't actually remember those stories. Yeah, I've heard about the late 60s. It's not just too long ago. There might have been some chemical enhancement going on there. Oh. So, you know, it's the old saying, if somebody can remember stories from the 60s, they weren't really in the 60s. But again, if they've got some advice for you on running this thing, that is just fine. I don't know if you noticed in the I saw it in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but it first appeared in the Sheboygan Press. Charles Barkley stopped in at a local bar in Sheboygan when he was golfing in the area the other day. How's that for you're just at your local watering hole and in walks an NBA legend, you know?
He's
not going to sneak in.
I don't know if I know the name Charles Barkley.
Sam, Charles Barkley. NBA legend. Okay, I'm sorry. You're younger. Charles Barkley from the Capital One commercials and other assorted play. Oh, Sam, we're gonna have to work on that. And I'm not even a basketball fan.
I mean, let's start at the top. Probably why.
Michael Jordan. Yes.
Yeah.
You've heard of Michael Jordan? Okay.
I say Space Jam.
All right, you go back over and work on your car. You're killing me over here. Charles Barkley visited the 902 on the Avenue bar back on Friday. The owner, Wendy Vera, told the Sheboygan Press they heard that Barkley was golfing in the area, said he was extremely gracious, took photos, signed autographs, opened a tab for customers in the bar for a couple of hours. And, you know, this is a big deal for people of a certain age who remember Sir Charles and his 16-year NBA career playing for the Sixers, the Suns, the Rockets. He retired in 2000, so now I've got to give Sam a little break here. It's hard to believe that he's been retired now for 23 years. But in another display of how time marches on, I'm noticing that I think it's the Fox NFL pregame show is making note that they have been on for 30 years since Fox got NFL games, which means, I mean, I thought Terry Bradshaw was kind of, you know, old back then, old by the standards of, you know, 30 years ago, being a retired Pittsburgh Steeler, legendary football quarterback. But now he's been doing the pregame show and other things there for 30 years. So time does have a way of just getting away from you. One moment you're watching Charles Barkley in the 1992 Olympics as part of the dream team with Jordan and Pippen and Magic Johnson. And the next thing you know, you're showing up in a bar in Sheboygan and, you know, the young folks go, who's that? And we have to explain to ourselves that, you know, we're actually older than we ever thought possible as we tell the young people about these stories. So there's your Charles Barkley appearance, your little VIP sighting. To get back to the Packers-Raiders game, again, the Packers dropped to 2-3 with that loss in Vegas. 17-13 was the final score. It was another slow start. The Packer offense just does not seem to have a rhythm yet and then has to rely on late attempts at a game-winning drive, which, you know, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers were known for eventually, but, you know, none of them blew the barn doors off when they were first getting going. And the same can be said for Jordan Love. He is a young quarterback on a young team. In fact, the youngest team in the NFL on offense at age 25.1, I think was the graphic they put up on TV last night. Love was intercepted 3 times. Again, not a big surprise, including that game-ending one where I think, again, you maybe put a little too much faith in your receivers in the end zone, and Christian Watson was the target on that one. And again, these are receivers who haven't had a chance fully to click with Love. And again, this is not to make excuses for them. The point of training camp and all the practices is to win. But again, you have to acknowledge what the reality of the situation is with a team with a new quarterback and young players. The Packers simply right now don't have a playmaker like a guy I never heard of until last night. And now Max Crosby, he was everywhere on the defensive end for the Raiders, coming in and with sacks and tackles for losses and so much pressure. I saw him in the ESPN pregame show, and clearly he was a popular figure to the hosts. It was clear that he was somebody that if you're a Raiders fan, you're familiar with him. I was not, but I certainly was well before the game was over. And at the moment, you know, the Packers are just missing a playmaker like that. Aaron Jones was out with an injury. David Bakhtiari is out for the year. Safety Darnell Savage went down during the game with a leg injury. And so when you've got a quarterback like Love, who went 16 for 30, 182 yards, and again with, you know, 3 interceptions, and, you know, offense that in total couldn't get you much more than 200 yards, this is going to be slow going for a bit, and it's going to, you're going to have to count on the other team to make mistakes, and Vegas made very few mistakes as well. The Packers now are off for another long spell. It's an interesting schedule. As I mentioned before I took my own break, was that the Packers were playing on a Sunday, and then they played on that Thursday night, you'll recall, losing to Detroit. And then they had a long layoff until last night, going from Thursday to the Monday, which would be 10, 11 days. And now they've got a bye week. And so they've got another, you know, 12, 13 days before they really have to get back into action again. Hopefully they use that time, you know, well, and start to set up some kind of a rhythm on offense, especially earlier in the game, you know, decide if, you know, if Dillon is going to be the answer, if Aaron Jones is going to come back. A.J. Dillon did, you know, yeoman's work for what he was asked to do in terms of running the ball. But it doesn't yet sound like a set game plan, a set strategy for the team. So there's a bit about that. The baseball playoffs continue. The Twins and Astros, the game three of the American League Division Series at Target Field, I think that is this evening. That series is tied a game apiece as the Twins and Astros split down in Houston. And then Baltimore and Texas continue on the American League Division Series today. Yesterday, the Diamondbacks took the second game of their series with the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers are on the brink of elimination here, down 0-2 to the Diamondbacks, who took out the Brewers last week. Meanwhile, the Braves, their series is tied right now with the Phillies. And again, here's one where everybody kind of expected the Braves. Everybody expected the Braves and the Dodgers to just stampede their way through these playoffs. And it's not working that way at all. People are asking, hey, does the playoff, does this new wild card round, you know, best of three and then a best of five in the division series, is this all a big mistake? Are we letting too many mediocre teams into the playoffs? And I would actually side with the folks who are hearing all that, and their response is, well, then play better. You know, this, if you know that this is what you're going to have a best of three, then a best of five, and then two best sevens, then prepare for that and deal with what's been put before you. I know there are a lot of people that think that all of the playoffs and all of the sports allow too many teams in, and that, you know, some years you have, you know, a wild card team winning the Super Bowl, for example. Well, yeah, but that's exactly what happened to the Packers a little over a decade ago. And so you prepare for the postseason that you're given, not the postseason that you want. And that's what the Dodgers need to cope with as they're down 2-0 to Arizona after the Diamondbacks won 4-2 last night. Atlanta beat Philadelphia 5-4 to tie that series up at one apiece. And again, Houston at Texas, that's a 3 o'clock game this afternoon at Target Field. And then the Baltimore Orioles, also a team that had a great season, but are on the brink of elimination because Texas is up 2-0. Texas took both games in Baltimore, and now they're heading back home to Texas. And so Baltimore's Cinderella season could be coming to an end. All right, then the National Hockey League season begins tonight. I see the Vegas Golden Knights, who won the Stanley Cup a few months back. They were at the Vegas Raiders game celebrating their Stanley Cup and getting set to defend their title as the National Hockey League season gets going later today. So there was a lot more in sports than we normally bring about on a Tuesday, but there was simply a lot going on there. So now we'll get back to more of unpacking the news from a political standpoint, what's happening in Israel with Hamas in our state capital and more right after this break. You're up north.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's military is hitting Gaza City with bombs and missiles in a massive retaliatory strike for Saturday's attack by Hamas that's killed more than 1,600 people on both sides. This man, who's Palestinian, lives in Sacramento and worries about loved ones in Gaza.
Part of his family is still in the house, and the situation is very difficult. I don't know if my uncle, my aunt, all my relatives are going to be okay from here to an hour or 2 hours from now.
In Washington, candidates for House Speaker will meet with the House Republican Conference today. Matt Gaetz, lawmaker who upset Kevin McCarthy.
I think we have two great folks running for Speaker, and Jim Jordan, Steve Scalise. If either of them were to get a majority of the vote in the conference, that's who I would be supporting on the floor. It's an embarrassment of riches.
GM offering 20% pay raises to striking auto workers. Union expert Merrick Masters.
Well, I think it really sets a precedent, and the UAW is going to go to the others and say, we won't agree to a tentative agreement with you if you don't do the same.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Kripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York into Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York, and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Kripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
93.5, The Tap.
There's a tree out in the backyard.
This is Tanya Tucker.
That never has been broken by the wind. And the reason it's still standing, it was strong enough to bend.
Tanya Tucker turning 65 years old today.
We have stayed.
There's a song much like that one, kind of a similar theme that she does, called Two Sparrows in a Hurricane. And normally my wife would be driving to work right now. She's actually on a different shift today. But that Two Sparrows in a Hurricane really became kind of our signature song getting through med school and through residency. And I think any couple could take songs like these two from Tanya Tucker and apply it to themselves going through some tough times, and then just trying to stay resilient in the face of challenges and adversities. I have to acknowledge, but I'll come back to it later, of all the plays I talked about in the Packers game, Roger pointed out that, the Packers really lost momentum because of a horse collar tackle play. And, that as a result, the Packers didn't get the touchdown, had to settle for the field goal. And, that 4-point swing could have been the thing that is all related to it. Somebody suggested a new way of penalizing defenses that do face masks or horse collar tackles on receivers who would otherwise get into the end zone. And so we may talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. I'm going to mention the conflict in Israel with Hamas ever so briefly. And that's only to say that I understand my shortcomings. I wish more people in media understood their shortcomings in speaking on matters that go back, not just generations or lifetimes, but over the centuries in what's happening in the Middle East. And that's not to say that everybody's take is wrong or short-sighted, only to acknowledge, the limitations that any one person outside the region has as an observer to all of this. The remarks that I have been drawn most to are the ones that remind us that you can be against the killing of Palestinian civilians, but not be pro-Hamas. You can be against the policies of the Israeli government and not be anti-Semitic. And that you can give credit to anybody who is working on the side of trying to bring peace to that. All of the work that he was doing yesterday to put together a rather forceful statement from, five of the largest democracies that were condemning of the Hamas attacks on Israel, but also calling for the peace process to get resumed. The one thing that still puzzles me, if I don't know that puzzles is the right word necessarily, but the one thing that puzzles me is a bit about the Hamas attacks. Is that if you have that many rockets, if you have that much ammunition, if you have that many firearms, and if you have that many people willing to do what they did over the weekend, you chose the path of basically open warfare against civilians. You're slaughtering innocent civilians as well as attacking military targets, but you chose something that you knew was going to result in reprisals, and that so many Palestinian women and children and innocents would suffer as a result of those reprisals, when the alternative could have been, and I'm not advocating for this, don't get me wrong, but if you have that much firepower, that much weaponry, if they had trained all of that on, say, the Israeli government, on government buildings, on military buildings. Basically, if you're going to go to war with a country, you go to war with its government. And yet Hamas didn't do that. They didn't choose to put all of that rocket power into going after, the heads of the Israeli government, but after its citizens. And I'm still just puzzled that you thought there was going to be any tactic there other than pure and simple terrorism, which again would lead to lots of innocent Palestinians being killed and set back the cause of autonomy in the Gaza Strip, autonomy rather than occupation. And so this is all to say, as I say this through my puzzlement, that I think we're all still working through those issues. We're working through the issues of the security or in the intelligence lapses that led to this. I think we have a lot yet to learn. There's a lot to support about Israel, but there's also a lot to insist on in whatever the next phase is of determining what is life like in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, and that what we don't have time for is the, again, the petty politics that we're seeing from people who are spreading misinformation, who are spreading old videos, and who are just not helpful to the process. And I was very thankful yesterday to see how quickly responsible media sources were coming in and knocking down the misinformation that somehow these Hamas attacks were financed with American tax dollars when, you know, nothing of the sort was happening. So we'll continue to monitor that and, again, do what we can to hope for the safe return of those who were taken hostage and, you know, for minimal civilian casualties on both sides and until some kind of peace can be brokered in that area. Now, let's get closer to home, where this week the legislature is again holding committee hearings, may hold floor sessions, and we got a nice review of what all is in Governor Evers' special session request for the legislature. It's a very comprehensive package that the governor has put forward that would support help make childcare more affordable. They would support things like the UW-Madison College of Engineering building. It would support greater education for nurses to address the shortage of healthcare workers. There would be grants to the UW system, to technical colleges, to private nonprofit colleges, to tribal colleges. Again, all looking to help with the shortage of educators, the shortage of healthcare workers. A lot of things that are designed to help out in the workforce are included in this bill. And that, of course, includes childcare, which is part of the labor shortage. There's also family medical leave that, again, the governor asked for in the state budget. He didn't get it. He put it into this special session bill. Again, he's not going to get it, but he's at least making the case for it that you are going to help the workforce quality in Wisconsin if you were to have family medical leave. And so give him points for bringing that up. Unfortunately, Republicans are not only not going to bring up family leave, it doesn't necessarily look like they're going to bring up any of this. Well, at least not this week. The only thing that we've seen coming up this week, you know, for example, as I'm looking at the legislative schedule here, for today, for example, at 2 o'clock, an assembly committee is going to be taking up the bill that prohibits gender transition medical intervention for LGBTQ youth. And so that is where their priorities are, where their values are, is not on addressing workforce issues, not on helping families that would like to be working at their jobs or working at better jobs, helping families afford health care and child care, helping get more health care workers out into rural Wisconsin. Those are not the things that Republican legislators are working on this week. These are not the things they even want to work on this week. What they want to work on, apparently, are these bills that punch down on trans youth and toward their allies. And then the other thing that it seems they want to do this week is continue to, you know, thump their chests about potentially impeaching a state Supreme Court justice and or the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And again, these are things that have already been determined by either the voters or by the law. The voters selected Janet Protasiewicz knowing what she said in the campaign and knowing that what she said was not that much different than what conservatives would say when they would talk about their own values and priorities. And in the case of Megan Wolf, again, the law is not on their side. There was no nomination before the Senate. And so now the assembly is talking about just impeaching Megan Wolf. Again, based on fairy tales about the 2020 election. And it's that continued obsession with the 2020 election. It's that continued obsession with scoring political points through impeachment rather than working on the issues that matter to families that, frankly, is going to set up the Republicans for potentially a very rough 2024. And yet, if the Republicans have a rough 2024, because of the way their priorities are upside down compared to most Wisconsin families, what they're setting themselves up to do is not blame themselves. They're setting themselves up to say, well, it was the fact that fair maps were put into place. And we, you know, that to them is, you know, interfering in elections. That's interfering in democracy, is if you actually give Wisconsin voters maps that are fair and more representative of their values. You've also got somebody in Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who is setting up another line of defense when it comes to elections and maps. Robin Voss was strangely quiet on the subject when he released a statement and talked about it recently. Did not stress impeachment of Justice Protasiewicz. Instead, his statement said something along the lines of, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court has had a say in the maps in the past, and the U.S. Supreme Court will have the final say before this is all done. What did he mean by that? What he meant by that is that he's looking for the U.S. Supreme Court, which continues to be dominated by conservative justices, by right-wing justices. Robin Voss is looking for the U.S. Supreme Court to ride to his rescue and undo anything that the state Supreme Court might be about to do in the case of the maps. The U.S. Supreme Court basically interfered in the redistricting process a couple of years back, when Governor Tony Evers and the Fair Maps Commission worked out a few different alternative maps. And the U.S. Supreme Court basically threw out the map that had come through, you know, a process fair and square through Wisconsin, through the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and interfered in a way that led us to the maps that we have now, which are even more gerrymandered, more rigged than the ones from the previous decade. One of the things the U.S. Supreme Court had said in the past is that when it comes to redistricting matters, that they should give wide deference to state Supreme Courts, that if state Supreme Courts are interpreting the election law and the maps in their states, they should not be second-guessed. But this current U.S. Supreme Court has shown every indication that they are willing to find a reason to interfere with state Supreme Courts and their rulings. This is not to say that it will happen in the case of Wisconsin, but the state Supreme Court, now controlled by progressives, is going to take up directly this latest challenge to the current gerrymandered maps. And that should be the final word on it. But the reason Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is no longer rushing talk of an impeachment of state Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz is that he's hoping, or at least telegraphing, that the U.S. Supreme Court will simply, you know, overrule and invalidate anything that the state Supreme Court comes up with, the state Supreme Court elected by the voters of the state of Wisconsin. We'll have today's history lesson and music break coming up right after this. You're up north.
If we're strong enough to bend.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy. We'll see highs in the mid-50s. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Some patchy frost once again. Mostly sunny for Wednesday with a high near 57. For Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 41. For Thursday, chance of rain, breezy, 56.
Right now, 40 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
This ain't coming from no prophet.
This is Garth Brooks.
Just an ordinary man. When I close my eyes, I see the way this world shall be. When we go walking in it.
His song, We Shall Be Free, is on the album The Chase. And it was on this day in 1992 that The Chase debuted at number one on the album's chart.
When the last child cries for a crust of bread.
Another Garth Brooks classic, That Summer, was on the Chase album as well. Number one this day in 1992. Happy anniversary to the United States Naval Academy. It opened in Annapolis, Maryland this day in 1845, then known as the Naval School, opened with 50 students. On this day in 1913, President Woodrow Wilson hit the plunger, triggered an explosion on a dike. And with that, the water rushed in, completing the major construction on the Panama Canal this day in 1913. It was 50 years ago today that America saw a scandal with the resignation of a sitting vice president. Richard Nixon's vice president, Spiro Agnew, resigned this day in 1973 after being charged with evasion of federal income tax. The number one song this day in 1970 was from Neil Diamond.
Ah, crackling rosy, get on board.
So you've got another legendary birthday here. It was on this day in 1917 that Thelonious Monk, the jazz pianist composer, was born in North Carolina. Lots of jazz standards, Round Midnight, Ruby My Dear, Well You Needn't, just to name a few. Thelonious Monk passing away in 1982. We mentioned that the late John Prine was born this day in 1946 and that Tanya Tucker turns 65 years old today. If that doesn't make you feel a little bit older, this one sure will. Happy 69th birthday to David Lee Roth. It just doesn't seem right that the guy singing Just a Gigolo is 69 today, but former frontman of Van Halen, David Lee Roth, it's his birthday today. Bradley Whitford, guy with Madison ties, and know him best from The West Wing. The actor is 64 years old today. Here's another case of you know the group, but you don't know the singer. You've heard the group Mr. Big, at least from back in, what, the 1990s? Lead singer Eric Martin turns 63, and this was their big hit.
Hold on, little girl. Show me what he's done to you. Stand up, little girl. A broken heart can't be that bad. A
couple of more here. Crystal Waters, the singer, is 59. Maya is 44. Here's a political one. California Governor Gavin Newsom is 56 years old today. It's Brett Favre's birthday. He is 54. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 49 years old today. It was on this day in 1995 that No Doubt released their breakthrough album, Tragic Kingdom, and hits from No Doubt back in 95 included Just a Girl and this one, Don't Speak. A whole new fresh face and voice on the radio. Gwen Stefani and Don't Speak would sell 10 million copies of that album and catapult Gwen to stardom. And one more note from on this day in 1970, the head of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, issued a statement in rebuttal to then Vice President Spiro Agnew's complaint that radio stations were playing too many songs about drugs. The statement to the vice president from the head of the FCC read to the vice president, "If we really want to do something about drugs, let's do something about life. The songwriters are trying to help us understand our plight and deal with it. It's about the only leadership that we're getting. They're not really urging you to adopt a heroin distribution program, Mr. Vice President." Just a stunning rebuke of a sitting vice president who, again, one of the easy popular things to do is to rail against something in the culture and to say that somebody should just, you know, shut up and sing or shut up and dribble. And it was quite fascinating at the time for the FCC head to say, hey, don't worry about songs that you think are about drugs. Come back to the root causes. Why are people feeling the need to take or sell drugs? That's the kind of thing elected leaders should be working on these days. All right, I mentioned that I wanted to come back to something from the Packer game here, and it was a point that Roger made about how the Packers, you know, might have gained momentum if it hadn't been for a horse collar tackle play, something that basically kept was it Christian Watson from getting into the end zone and the Packers having to settle for a field goal. Well, let's see. I want to give credit to the person here who put it up. Justin Belinsky put a new rule. He posted on Twitter. If you get a face mask or a horse collar penalty and you're the last man between a receiver and the end zone, you let the defense pick their penalty. Either you give the offense an automatic touchdown or an ejection of the player with the face mask. When it happened originally, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were, I guess, rather complimentary of the play, of the decision to make this illegal tackle of a receiver only, 5 yards from the end zone, something like that? And rather than saying, oh, he saved a touchdown by taking the penalty, well, then the penalty isn't hard enough. It isn't harsh enough if you can, you know, pull somebody's face mask and try to rip their neck off in order to prevent a touchdown. So I wonder if that were a serious proposal, if it would gain some traction, that if that happens to that person on defense, that either they are automatically ejected or it's automatically a touchdown. So think about that, not just when we're on offense, but on defense as to whether that might be a way to go. Sam, are you continuing to get advice on the VW bug over here? I'm seeing here that Mark from the SAC wrote in on the text line said, had my 69 bug from 78 to 81. I remember having to drive with an ice scraper in one hand to keep the windshield clear on the inside when it was 20 below, headed from UW Superior and then down to eventually down to Madison. You don't have to drive that way yet, do you?
No, but I've definitely driven it in the winter where I had to like try and scrape the ice off the windshield with my hand.
It's almost like that fine German engineering. Did they not have winter in Germany? We have a very busy second hour ahead, starting with congressional candidate Katrina Shanklin, then the author of Beneath the Polish Moon. Next, you're up, Garth.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.